We'll go ahead and call the meeting to order. Would you like to take the roll call, please?
Alderman Hoffman?
Here.
Alderman Ock?
Yeah.
Member Chee, or Member Howard?
Here.
Member Chee?
Here.
Here.
Thank you. If you'll join me for the Pledge Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Item two is a citizen's comment period. We have one gentleman out in the audience. You're not bringing us a pot of money for budgetary purposes for 20.
Oh, we've got all kinds of money.
Good to see you, Paul. Anyone else? Seeing no one else, I'll go ahead and close the comment period, and we'll move on to item three, which is, I think, a continuum of last week's activities. Relative to looking at, analyzing, reviewing, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, the mayor's proposed and recommended 2023 budget. And I think we're going to spend some time on capital funds this evening.
That is correct. Before we get started, if we could just do a couple housekeeping, you do have some replacement pages at your desk. I'm just going to start with the top that says replacement pages. I apologize. I'm just seeing that these are pretty hard to read because of the way the ledger pages work. But the first three pages are pages 35 to 37. Those are sewer detail pages. I'm sorry, sewer summary pages. And these will all go on the website first thing tomorrow morning.
So that's 35, 6, and 7, it
looks
like?
Correct. And those are sewer summary. We were just doing some updates on the sewer budget. You did have those pages. We just updated those.
So they should be replaced then. 35, 36, and 37. Take those off.
And the next three are related. They're essentially the same, only the detail pages for sanitary sewer, 2, 11, 12, and 13. Correct. Get all the pages changed, and then we'll just give you a rundown of what that looks like.
And it looks like
224 and 225. That is an update to the health grants. All the revenues were in the department request. They just weren't in the mayor's recommended, so there really wouldn't be any changes on those other than just adding those to the list. Stack is 276 through 280. And the details on that are, those are some updates on the utility improvement fund, the development fund, as we had discussed at both the council presentation and the first meeting night, we had some work to do yet on these. So these are the Fund 22, Fund 27. And 299 at the tail end of the debt schedules is a very small update for Fund 51. The health insurance fund budget, that's pages 323 through 325. This is an add. There was only a header sheet in there. This is still being worked on with personnel. It will be presented to personnel on Monday night, council on Tuesday night in regard to the benefit choices for next year, but those can be added as 323, 324, and 325.
What pages were that?
That would be 323, 324, and 325.
End of the book.
It should be at the very, yeah, the very last pages. It ended at page 322.
Got it.
And like I said, we will be talking about all of those. You have two other things at your desk. Those are really just discussion points. One of them is just a draft packet of some TID analysis. This is, TIDs are obviously a very hot item with the Finance Committee, as they should be, very impactful on the city, uses a lot of city resources while the TIDs are going on. We'll talk about those in detail, and then we just have a little one-page debt analysis that was included in the council presentation, but I thought you would be interested.
All right, thank you for that.
So with that said, there are some adjustments on those. We'll talk about development and utility improvement as we go through the capital, but maybe, Denise, if you just want to start with the sanitary sewer updates, because what we'll do is, as you recall from prior years, there's an adjustment sheet that will be then presented to council. And so it'll tell, you know, what's the fund, what are the account numbers, what they were, and what they are. So they'll get that list, and then they'll just have a reason for the list. And the reason for the sanitary sewer one is they were just simply updated. And Denise can walk us through those changes right now. So you are on page...
If you go to page 35.
Page 35.
When I had completed the, when I first looked at the sanitary sewer fund, the clean water fund loan, I had not gone back and put in the interest income, which is line 614712. So that needed to be added into the income section. And then there's also a line for the expense. It's basically an offset. We have, it's a pass through, so to speak, with the Milwaukee Metropolitan Sewer District. So they we get charged interest, and they pay us back for that interest.
$318,796. $319,000,
okay. Yep. And then, let's see. I also took a look at the capital contributions. At the time that this was put together, we hadn't spent a lot of time or didn't have an opportunity to look at what the capital contributions would be. So there's an estimate in there for that now, as well as for both the city and for via the TIDs for sewer projects. And let's see what else. Then the other section that was reviewed was the facility charges, which is on page 36. And that's some of those were there, but like depreciation and the city support for engineering and admin, those items were reviewed. And entered.
Would you just make a note that Joe is joining us? Approximately 4:15. Thank you. You were saying, Denise?
So for the sanitary sewer fund, we took a look at the facilities charges, some of the items that are either allocations or charged from other city departments. And those were updated as well. So those are 610731 on page 36, 5541 through 5572. Those were updated. And then, as I mentioned, the interest on the Clean Water Fund loan is shown at the bottom of that page, 731, 5621, interest expense. And I think that might have been it. So, yeah, it was basically an additional review of the sanitary sewer budget.
All right. Any questions or comments there? Everybody has that, page 35 and 36, updates.
And then we don't need to go through 211 and to 213 because those are the same exact changes. But the next one you have, 224 and 225.
Okay, I'm sorry,
224 and 225, those would be the health grants. As I mentioned, there are no technical changes on them. The numbers are all the same. It was just that everything in the department request needed to be copied over to the mayor's recommended.
So the total grants of 723 that's being estimated remains the same.
Correct.
And
you will notice that on this fund, if you go to that page 225, you will notice that the revenues are quite a bit larger than the expenditures. We're working through our health director. She was able to join us last time, but she's off on leave right now. She'll be back in beginning of November. So she knew she didn't have expenditures. She just took over as health director like 2 weeks before she went on leave. So she's going to be working on that. Those will likely be a council budget amendment by the time she gets around to do it.
Okay.
So she would only have authority through this budget, if it's approved, for the revenues listed on here and the expenditures listed on here.
Questions there, anyone? So this will be revised as we move along.
And the next one, if you can go to page 276, please. We identify this as the Fund 22, the Utility Improvement Fund. Very small activity happening in here. A lot of the charges that happen in here are like water extensions, sewer extensions, those kind of things. We have often in history used these as placeholders. You'll see for 2022 budget, there was a sewer connection placeholder of $500,000. We're not expecting to do that this year. So again, the projected activity would be zero. However, we do have one planned for next year, so that'll be considered. On the water side, we do have the development fund. If you look in that $1,191,000, that is related to the water tower project that's going on. We did put it as a projected 2022. We're under the impression as we sit here today that project is going to go forward and be bid out yet this year, so all those funds will get reassociated as needed, but we're not sure if that's going to happen. So if that doesn't then happen, those projected 22s would just get carried over to 2023. Can you turn your mic on?
Oh, sorry.
And feel free, if you want to, as long as we're not getting a lot of feedback, feel free to just leave your mics on.
Okay.
And then if we get feedback, we can, usually it's if we turn every other one off. It's kind of a lucky charm.
The $500,000, is that the sewer extension that we were discussing around 92nd and Ryan Road? That
exactly.
One? Okay.
Yep.
I just wanted to be
That's
sure
it.
That wasn't
yep.
a different one that I wasn't remembering.
And it is listed in the capital. As we go through
yep.
the capital fund 46,
okay.
you're going to see it listed on that sheet as well. Then on page 277, there were no updates. That's just part of the intro. But we did add the project list on page 278. And this comes, this project list comes exactly from the capital budget. Going to be talking about it in detail, but on 256, every capital project that the city is recommending with regard to any impact fees is listed there. In addition to that, we'll get into a lot more details on the capital, but those now match, and the 256 was already in the budget, so this was just a bit of catch up on that. And then we did add estimates for all of the impact fee. We've been spending a lot of time with our building inspection division. We have a lot of projects going on right now. Some of the big ones, we have HSA Commercial Real Estate is building a $271,000 square foot flex building out in the corporate park down in the southeast portion of the community. We have Saputo just to the east of there building a very large cheese repackaging plant. The Seasons is a multifamily on 27th, just up the road from there. Very large multifamily units. We have, we have some stuff going on, Rise Development going on in TID 6. Oh, thank you, yep. We have a hotel going in TID 5, a sleep-in slash mainstay. We'll talk about these when we get to the TID. They do have a second hotel proposed in that TID. Council's been hearing some of this, so some of the council members already know that. And then there was just on last Tuesday, on October 4th, there was a presentation from the Ballpark Commons developers partnering with Mandel to do a very large project, Orchard View Shopping Center, the Loomis Road off-ramp, and then the M1 building. So we'll talk about all of those when we get to the TIDs, but looks like a pretty big thing going on. The only ones we don't expect to get going in the really near future, we think the second hotel, the Pennant Hotel, is probably going to be a little bit slower than the rest, and then those last three pieces, the Public Square, which is Orchard View, M1, and what they're calling the retreat on the list, we think are next year, but all the other ones we're expecting to get going this year. So big projects like that obviously bring in big impact fees. So there's that. And then as well, again, on page 256 in the budget on the capital, you'll see all the impact fee spending, and this just documents it in the fund. Then again, the Special Assessments Fund 51, it's on page 299, sits behind debt, very small activities going on in that fund. And then I think I'm going to save health insurance until we get to the self-insurance fund, if it's okay. With that said, if there's any questions, we're happy to answer those at this point. Otherwise, what we'd like to do is start with the Capital Improvement Fund, that we do have generally six capital funds. Capital Outlay, which is our smaller capital type items, not technically a building or, you know, a big project. It's usually a single purchase. That's what happens in Fund 41. Equipment Replacement, that's Fund 42. That is a schedule that council basically has approved of equipment that's what we want to say on the record, and as we buy it, we replace it. We'll talk about that. Capital Improvement Fund is Fund 46. That's where the big projects happen. Water towers, new water connections, public works facilities, trails, parks, those kind of things happen in Fund 46. Fund 47 is our Street Improvement Fund, and then we have the Utility Development and the development and the impact fee development fund that we talked about so far. So if we want to skip right up to, in your document, page 226 is where the capital improvement fund starts. There's a couple summary pages, perhaps just for maybe a bit of a bird's eye view of, you know, where, you know, what are the all the projects recommended. There are some very large 11.5 by 17 pages in the right behind 230. So again, you've seen this last year. This is the second year for the capital. There are a lot of projects. There's a lot of pent-up needs. We really have not been doing a lot with capital improvements, facility-type projects for a number of years. You're going to see that here. The harsh reality of that as well is we really don't have a ton of money. So it all becomes what are the city's priorities at the time. So you'll see over in the right-hand column on the in the right-hand section of those big pages that, that says mayor's recommended. And so basically the departments requested all of those, and then the mayor, basically the ones that said zero are the ones that he is not recommending are going in the budget. We have had conversations with all of our department heads. They don't love it, right, because they want a lot of these projects done, but they understand. I think there's a good balance, as you see from the summary page. There's a lot of needs in every department, and there's basically projects for all the departments in there. So I think at this point, maybe do you want to start with Fund 41?
Sure.
Just talk about that a little bit.
Sure. And Peggy pointed out, but those large, the fold-out pages, it's also nice because you can see, like she said, you know, maybe somebody asked for the one-ton dump truck, but the mayor recommended is zero. So it was requested, but we did not include it in the budget. And that's how their projects are reflected here. But then you can also see in the columns right before that the funding sources. So if there is a project that, you know, somebody's requested, it's it may be borrowing, it may come out of, you know, the capital fund, it might come out of the replacement fund, or there might be a grant that's going to pay for it. So that's the section in the middle there that sort of explains how each of those might be funded. So if we just talk through Fund 41. So I'm going to flip forward to page 242. And this is just, again, we're talking about the capital outlay fund. There, we use a couple of different sources here to fund this. There's going to be some landfill siting revenue of about $700,000. And there's grants and donations of about $248,000, and then a small amount of interest on the fund balance. The departments requested $3.4 million of new projects, and we are funding $925,000 of those. There's $239,000 for police vehicles. There's a replacement of an exhaust capture system for the three fire stations. And then there's some IT equipment, servers and such, and then an $80,000, sort of the beginnings of or part of the comprehensive outdoor recreation and master plan rewrite.
How many vehicles, police vehicles?
That's a great question.
I believe it's four.
I believe it's
yeah.
four. Right. And so it's an
yep.
interesting point on those police vehicles because it's about $290,000-some. And the interesting thing is those cars used to cost approximately $25,000 to $30,000, low 30s. Now with the bulletproof shield, I think we talked about this
yeah.
at the first meeting with the chief, but the bulletproof shields and the armor on the doors and different things, some extra safety precautions, we're right around 80 a vehicle.
If there is a possibility of building a new fire station, do we need to do... Is it recommended we do the various servers and exhaust source at all three stations?
So we're prioritizing the projects at both DPW and fire right now just because of those possibilities. The items that were included in the 2023 budget are the ones that they can't live without. So fire station is a little bit different than DPW in that they're in those buildings 24/7. So they basically live there.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a concerted effort from all of the department heads to say, you know, are those things that we can do without or perhaps just kick down the road a little bit. But we got into a situation with a couple fire stations where they've got some pretty major things going on and can't really not do it. But the good news is we talked a little bit, I think, Chair, you asked about the what's going to happen with Fire Station 2 if we indeed vacate that. And there's a chance that it could be used for another purpose or be sold. But either way, we don't think anything we're doing improvement-wise is going to be money wasted at that point.
Thank you.
And it is funded substantially through a grant, so it's a small
okay.
portion.
Thank you.
That will be in the budget.
Similarly, although this is DPW, I recall something in here around 20 grand for fuel.
Ed, you want to turn on your mic?
Around 20,000 for the fuel island.
Yep.
How would the potential of the new building impact that?
That is definitely needed, and it will be movable to where it needs to be on the new site. So it yes, we talked to them about that, hey, with whatever's going on, we're just not sure what the future's going to look like. Would it make sense to delay it? And they just basically said we can't because we'd have to stop using those fuel islands. But they will all be movable because the fuel islands likely would not be in the same place, even if just fire comes there. But all of the cost involved, the vast majority of it, would be preserved in the new facility, the new structure layout.
We have any idea what it would cost to move it at the appropriate time? I guess what I'm getting at is would it make sense to put them where they potentially would be?
I think there's enough question. The discussion we had with the department heads and the mayor was there's enough question about what that timing might look like, because we all understand that this, if we were to combine, do the DPW and fire right now, we'd be in the $30 million range. And that's probably not something that the city's willing to take on at this point. So by the time the fuel stations would be ready to be moved, it would be a number of years down the road for the one that they're moving. And they already did the other one, two, last year. So I can certainly, I'm going to put that on the follow-up list, though, and just check that out.
And those islands, if I recall, are used by all departments, correct?
That is true. And it's all the departments, the school district, mm-hmm. that kind of thing.
So there's a lot of activity and volume that goes through there. Just for my clarification, that location for that proposed potentially new site is not the exact corner of 76th and Rawson, correct? It's adjacent to or across the street from the Wasilla building. Am I accurate on that, or are we?
I'm not sure what you mean by the Wasilla building. So you know where the DPW facility is right now?
Yeah.
The fire station would be, you know, those two old storage buildings that are right in the front? Those need to be demoed, and that's right where the fire station would be, right on that corner. And then the DPW would be some kind of a makeup of the existing buildings, and then
south.
We own all the way back to those ball fields. In fact, the storage facility that's being referred to, that would basically replace those two older storage buildings that they are using, and that would be in the back side of the building. So then the question just becomes, would there be other things we would do and not have to completely rebuild the DPW facility? So the phasing also kind of helps it from that perspective.
Right. I guess my question is, there's a house that sits on the corner right now, adjacent, directly east of, at street level, Bryan Road. Am I correct that that is not being?
That is not being.
Okay. So it's just west of there. Now it's Zurn Building Products, I think, across the street. But so down that whatever street that services the ballparks. That's what I thought. I just wanted to in my mind, make sure I had that accurate. Yeah, I think there, I mean, that project, I mean, obviously councils, that's going to be a big one, but I think that one may have some phases to it where, you say, well, is there cost savings if you can do the whole project at once? And, you know, yeah, maybe, but it may be a pretty big bite to take off and chew and handle in one fell swoop. Plus, if you have two major departments trying to relocate, rearrange, re-whatever, that's a fair amount of turmoil on their part as all. Plus, if they're all kind of in the same area, there may be some efficiencies to trying to phase in the retrofitting and moving and, you know, rearranging and so on and so on and so on. But anyway, I guess time will tell on that.
Right. And the existing DPW facility is only 25 years old. And I say only because that's fairly new for a city building. So there's just been a lot of questions. We've gotten some questions from the community. We've had some questions from council members. I think what we've heard so far, and we'll see if it makes it through this budget process, but one of the top priorities is that fire station relocation, just because of everything that's going on in the southwest portion of the city. And, you know, with the 138th unit, Newman, we have 33 condos that Bear's doing, Ryan Meadows, so there's a lot going up there. And the fire chief will tell you, I think he probably did tell you, he can't sleep at night because he doesn't like how far that stuff is away from all of his facilities and his access.
And then they will keep keep the, in the back burner, the dialogue with, how do I want to say this, but the potential sharing of services.
Absolutely.
In the equation, or at least to make sure that we're not sidestepping if that does get some traction.
That's absolutely correct, and that's really kind of another strategic play on the whole design of everything that's going on. And those discussions are ongoing. We have an older resolution. It's a number of years old. Basically, it was the council giving permission to talk about service sharing and what does that look like. Is that station sharing? Is that equipment sharing? Is that full consolidation? It could be any of those things, but it's interesting. The fire chief was just at a meeting with us this morning talking about that very topic, and he just said he was at a chief's meeting this past week, and that was the discussion was, you know, we're growing. He's been doing pretty okay with firefighters and staffing. You know, we have the extra firefighter in this budget, but he's not hearing the same from his peers. So he feels like this is perhaps going to speed up. You know, whatever this new look is going to be, he thinks that's going to go faster than slower just because of all the challenges everybody's having right now in the budget.
That, this may be off topic, and if so, just let me know. I actually had a constituent reach out to me today. He is a deputy fire chief on Brookfield's department, but lives in my district. And his concern with the budget is that we're going to be, if we combine departments, or that we're using our resources now when we do mutual aid calls for Greenfield, because Greenfield's out helping Milwaukee, as an example. I mean, that may be a better question for the chief, but
so,
it was just
a really
question that I wasn't really sure how to answer for him at this time.
It's a good question. Brookfield is in Waukesha County, so they're not part of the Milwaukee County sharing, but we have automatic mutual aid. And I will tell you, the chief will tell you, we keep track of it. We get it. You see it all in the newsletter that you get from the chief every week, and we talk about how many did we give and how many did we receive. And it just depends on the community. To some communities, like Hills Corners, we're a net giver. To somebody like Greendale, we're actually a net receiver just because of everything we have going on. We're hoping this relocated station will help us serve our community. And as the mayor says and the council says regularly, our number one priority is our community.
Right.
We'll help when we can, you know, and that's the way it is. But I can tell you, especially with the fire chiefs, just because they're a little bit more transient than some of the other services, it doesn't matter what vehicle, what apparatus shows up at your house, you would be served, and you would be served well. Milwaukee County has a really high standard of care, so the chief is comfortable with that. He's getting much more comfortable with all these changes that have been being made. And we can certainly bring him back to talk to you again if you're interested. But we'll be hearing a lot about this as we go forward.
We will, okay. Because I may have phrased that wrong, too. I think my constituent was concerned that we're, like, helping out, just as an example, Greenfield Hills Corners, because they're sending, like, to help Milwaukee, the city of Milwaukee, because the city of Milwaukee, I understand, is in dire need
of
fire service.
It's certainly a point of discussion
in the future. Okay,
yeah.
Thank you.
Well, I think one added point there too is when you look at some of these potential names that are talked about, the growth area left in Milwaukee County is Oak Creek and Franklin. So we're going to need more firefighters or more equipment or whatever. Some of the other communities may be more at a stabilized or fully developed. So they may look at their staff and their equipment and facilities and say, well, we're saturated. We're good or major tweaks. So you've got kind of all of this balancing going on, and how do you allocate that at cost? Is it by population or by something else? Or, you know, so there's a lot of variables going on, but nonetheless, I think there's potential for dialogue and discussion and, you know, see what potential may exist. Because at the end of the day, I think as you just pointed out, you know, they're all kind of doing the same thing at the same time. And if there's five come in at one time, no community probably can handle it by themselves independently. But you want available five units to be able to go out and hit the road if that's what's necessary.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And I will tell you, there's one community, Greenfield happens to be a community right now, that's really pressing the whole mutual aid formula because they are a net giver to a lot of communities, whether it be Milwaukee, Greendale, et cetera. And mutual aid is, I hate to say this word, but free, right? It's just back and forth. They have an agreement. There's no money changing hands or any of those kind of things.
But I do know that all of the jurisdictions keep track of all their mutual aid, how much do they give and how much do they receive. So I'm guessing with the ICC communities, all the Milwaukee County communities, that's definitely going to be a point of discussion. Up in the Valley, they already have a cost sharing involved with their mutual aid. It kind of deters, you know, maybe your Milwaukee from cutting a station and knowing that its neighbors are going to help and things like that. So my guess is sometime on the horizon that's going to be coming forward as well.
Thank you.
We have a question here. Go ahead, Elmer.
Thank you. And still in Fund 41, I just want some clarification, particularly in parks, line 5832. $175,000 was requested, and as I go to 248, because and just kind of knowing previous discussions, that was requested for the replacement of Kayla's playground flooring. So that was what was requested. The mayor recommends $40,000. I'm not sure why. That seems to be an all or nothing project.
Yeah, so that's actually multiple. Yep,
yeah. So Kayla's playground is actually in 46. So in Fund 41, there were a number of other items that were, you know, various park improvements, park equipment. So if we looked at the bottom of page 230, you could see they asked for a sidewalk snow machine.
Okay.
They asked for park equipment replacement, and there was, you know, some funds given for that for Fund 41. There was a request for a baseball field grooming machine. That mm-hmm. was a zero. So it's a lot of different smaller things. The $40,000 that you see is that complete play structure.
Gotcha.
And my understanding was that was enough to do one in one park.
For the year 2023.
Correct. So the pages, the budget pages from the system, those are good, but I feel like this is a bit stronger.
Okay.
Because it will tell you the fund, it'll tell you all the requests by department, and then it'll tell you the fund
gotcha.
That's being presented in, and then what the request is, and then over to the right, in the far right section, 5 columns in from the left, or the right, it'll tell you what was actually approved and what was advanced to another year.
Okay.
So it just gives you a bit more of a snapshot on that.
And I knew that flooring was not going to be funded for 2023, so that's...
So there were a lot of conversations on that flooring, and it's super important. It's very important to the city. It's a very popular park, a lot going on there. But the indication we got from DPW staff was that they work really hard to maintain it, but they're doing a good job, and they can do it for another year. But we're probably not going to hear that again.
Mm-hmm.
I would expect that you might see it in next year's budget because we've asked them to defer twice now.
And it's $275,000, so not a small ticket.
No,
item.
It's not. And I do know the city engineer is exploring less expensive alternatives for that flooring, but that's tricky.
So basically a summary of Fund 41, I was just going to sort of wrap it up by looking at that page that you were looking at, Alderwoman Hanneman. You look at page 244, you can see that basically we have funded about $950,000 and we are appropriating or planning to spend about $925,000. So we are utilizing grants and impact fees, site fee, landfill siting, to pay for those projects. So there won't be a depletion of the fund balance for Fund 41.
So before we get to 42, maybe I can just talk in general about all the capital items. So Fund 41, capital outlay 42, you know, there's a lot of discussion on how much we usually spend. We usually spend anywhere from $1 million to 1.4-ish on capital outlay. That's down this year. Capital equipment replacement is down this year because that doesn't have a lot of high priority. It certainly has replacement, but doesn't have a lot of highest priority items, so the next 2 years are light. You're going to see when you hit Fund 46 a lot more than you're used to seeing in there, and you're going to see a lot in Fund 47. You've heard the city engineer talk about this many times, the street replacement fund. We were for many, many years putting $1 million in there.
For 2023, we have 1.5 million. So that 500,000 had to come from somewhere. It's just a readjustment of all those capital funds, essentially. And then, like I said, in Fund 46, you'll see that extra borrowing. So, go ahead, Denise.
And for the fire department, the building improvements for... Oh, I see, but the mayor recommended budget for building improvements is 243.7.
So that would be the design for that fire station.
For the new
so,
one.
Yep,
okay,
that would happen in 23,
in
and sure. You know, of course, with approval. Usually what happens is these kind of big projects get approved in the budget, and then they also have to have a direct approval from the council. So usually there's two approvals on those.
Thank you.
So I'm not sure if it would be simpler for me to just walk through this sheet, or would you prefer, I mean, for Fund 42, the replacement fund, there wasn't a lot of activity. There's one item being replaced, and that is the ambulance. The rest of the funds that we have, it's $286,000, and we have basically not, we do not have anything else in Fund 42 that we are planning to replace in the 2023 budget. However, the next several years, I think Peggy mentioned earlier, there wasn't such a large number coming, you know, it isn't in the millions of dollars, so we are hoping to do some catch-up in 2023 and 2024 by being able to make up for some of the things we didn't replace this year.
Are we still optimistic that that vehicle will be available given supply, or was this one that we got, that I remember hearing, is this being reallocated, or?
No, this is one, they actually have been working with the vendor for about 3 months. I know they did just have a price increase on October 1st, but it was decided between the mayor and the fire chief that it's a 23 item, let's just wait for 23. I think the delta was about $10,000, but they have a lot going on at the fire station right now, so they really didn't have the energy, you know, the manpower to deal with that. So 2023 will be that ambulance, and it is a pretty long lead time, but they do believe they will get it at some point in 2023.
All right, so on to...
We have a question,
This is probably it's a very elementary question. I'm not going to say silly question, but it's an elementary question. Why do we replace the ambulances out of Fund 42, but we replace the police cars out of Fund 41?
It's a good question. So police cars, please don't take any disrespect with this word. Police cars are disposable. That's why they're, police cars last 3 years, ambulance.
Okay.
Ambulance,
I kind of thought that was the reason, but
yep.
I don't want to assume.
If you read the fine print, there's parameters on dollar amount and life, and the police cars don't fit the life.
Gotcha.
And if one of them gets smashed up, they don't even last that long. And we went through a barrage of that, knock on wood, we're done with that. I think hopefully we paid our dues, but we had, I mean, stuff like that comes up. And I mean, they're almost to the point where they're just, you know, included every year in their, well, they are every year.
Yeah.
I mean, it's four or five, how many, it's just a matter of how many they're ordering. But an excellent question, and it comes up all the time, and you say, well, wait a minute, are we splitting hairs here a little bit? But, you know. It is kind of what it is. They come up with a better mousetrap for a police vehicle, and everybody could be switching, you know, to that too. Who knows? Anything
okay,
else?
Thanks.
Any other questions?
So just again on the funding for Fund 42. Fund 42 is usually funded through landfill siting fees. This year there's not a lot in there. But what I will tell you is part of our homework for next year when we look at this financial plan is how we can better fund the equipment replacement fund. The equipment replacement fund has been underfunded for many, many years. It's just not cutting what needs to be done. So we do have some ideas when we get to the street fund. We're going to talk about general transportation aids. We did just get that number yesterday, the 10th. There's approximately $92,000 in there. We do think we're perhaps a little bit conservative on landfill siting. That's going to be something that we're going to request that the finance committee take a look at, and perhaps even with year-end funds that might be left, start funding those things a little bit stronger than they have been in the past, just because, yes, we have some low years right now, but then we're going to come up on some bigger years, and we just don't want to be stuck. And I will tell you, we talked to the council about this for the budget presentation, but there's very few communities that borrow, do anything besides borrow for equipment and street improvement. We borrow for neither of them right now, which is nothing short of amazing. We want to keep it that way as long as we can, but the sheer reality of it is probably not going to be forever.
Yeah, I hope council members picked up on that. I mean, there are communities, as we just said, they do nothing but, you know, borrow. We need something, oh, we got to borrow. This whole concept was that you'd have these big, you know, equipment variations, and assuming they get replaced, just because it goes into that equipment replacement doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to get replaced. There's a new mousetrap that developers say, hey, we're doing something different, or we're going to, you know, move to this, whatever. But it varies so much. And this basically provides an opportunity to provide a down payment, just like kind of the real world operates businesses, so that as you're spending money and doing capital outlay, you've got something to put down. Now, maybe we're too conservative if we're funding 100% out of it, but, I mean, there are, you know, communities that do nothing but leverage it 100% and put it all on the debt service of the taxpayer. We think there's a better way to do that if you're planning for this stuff. It isn't necessarily a surprise. Fire trucks aren't going to last forever. Ambulances are going to last forever. So big ticket items, you know when they're coming. We have them in the schedule. They're out there. They might get pushed around a year or two, just like the ambulances pushed from 22 to 23, but they do usually don't go away.
All right. So Fund 46, as Peggy mentioned, is, you know, where we've got a lot of the large projects going on. And I won't pretend to know everything that's happening to 2022 projects. I am certainly still coming up to speed and learning those. But I will give you on page 243, or 253, I mean, we talk about some of the things that were planned for 2022 and how they're doing. As you know, I think everybody's heard, we are absolutely improving the facilities throughout all the city buildings. That spending is happening this year, and it will continue to happen. The fiber optic cable project is underway. I believe it is either out to bid or going out to bid. And so that is, you know, a big project that will be spent and hopefully improve all of our experiences. Looking forward to that. Then we have the fire station design. So as we mentioned, that was in last year's budget. And that has been delayed until 2023, but you see it again in this year's budget. Same with the public works design that has been delayed. The industrial park and city park lighting, that is, those are things that DPW will continue to replace. And then the design of the connection to the alternate municipal water supply. there is still continuing ongoing negotiations, and I know Peggy has been intimately involved, and hopefully there will be a decision sometime in the next 4 to 6 months or so. The water tower on Highway 100, that project is getting very close. My last Board of Water Commissioner meeting, I know that they were getting very close to putting that out to bid, so hopefully we'll be hearing more about that. Then the various parks projects, obviously there was a big change, or at least a big move on the part of the city where they purchased this Southwest Park property. And because of that $1.5 million purchase, there are a number of other things that did not or will not happen in 2022. Those are things like, while we had planned for some Southwest Park development, the trailhead at the school property, that was a project that was in the 2022 budget, will not be happening because of the purchase we made, resurfacing of the tennis court at Fleming Park, Ryan Creek trail sections, the disc golf, cricket pitch, all of those projects are being deferred into a future budget because of the $1.5 million that was spent. Some of the other things that are still in the works but maybe haven't had a lot of progress is the water tower park design, Cascade Trail, Pleasant View Park. That one, I know there's quite a bit going on with that, and the spending is occurring. St. Martin's of Tours, and then the 116th Street Trail construction. So those were the large projects from 2022. Now looking at 2023, the facility improvements will be ongoing. We have in the budget the fire station design and some of the work that would need to take place for that. Part of, or we believe, based on what the architect has shared, in order to get going on that design, the DPW cold storage building would have to take place. We'd need to, you know, be able to move that equipment, maybe start with the site prep and all of that. So that's a very large ticket item in the budget, the almost $3 million. They will continue with some streetlight replacement, and then there are a number of parks and trails that will be planned for in this year. There's some of the projects that you saw in 2022 will continue in 23. St. Martin of Tours, the 116th Street Trail. They are going to try some tennis court repairs. I know the city engineer is looking at some different things that we might be able to do to repair the surface, if not replace. There's some land that we have to purchase. The water tower park design will continue. We are looking at a senior fitness court, Forest Home Trail. The disc golf is back in. There was a request to paint the Franklin Town Hall Museum, and then a fitness court as well.
Can I ask for the tennis court repairs? Does that include pickleball courts as well? Is that part of that or no?
No, I don't think it is specifically.
No.
Can I speak to that?
Sure.
And only because I sit on Parks Commission, and this has been a lot of the discussion. And I don't know how DPW staff is prioritizing which courts get finished first, but yes, Lions Legend 2 would be slated at some point for a reconstruction or resurfacing, so I don't know if that would be this year or the next year. Honestly, $200,000 is going to maybe get us 1.5 courts done. It's incredibly expensive right now. And I have a follow-up, so when you're finished, I would touch upon that even a little bit more. But it's not any new pickleball courts, because the new pickleball courts we have are at Pleasant View right now. So people are being asked, okay, go over there if you feel that these courts are unplayable.
Okay, thank you for the explanation.
Yep.
Question for the parks.
Go ahead, Ed.
What is the model airplane park that's there?
Down on 76th Street, there is an old airport, and the regional local model airplane group flies there, and they are looking for a replacement or a new location. I don't believe that anything has been at all promised.
Because it's a county park on Oakland.
It is. It is.
So I didn't know why we had budget stuff for...
It was a request that was made to the Parks Commission to find a location, and so that just became part of their sort of punch list of things that... but I don't think we have that funded anywhere, do we?
No.
I didn't think so. Like, there wasn't, there really
the
wasn't any.
Yes, it's requested.
Yes,
but
it's requested or sort of a placeholder on the list of things that the public has come to us that they would like in future park development.
Are they possibly losing that availability at the site they're at now?
I think it's looking at. I don't know if the county's going to sell that land, but I know there's development planned around that area, so I think they're also subject to a little bit of flooding in there. Mm-hmm. You know, they've just got, because they had come to us wanting to be able to put up a sort of a steel shelter type thing for when it rains, and that had been denied, and primarily because of flooding that does come up in there. So. But what if I could follow up on that a little bit more, as I see we've got the $20,000 in there for the Frisbee Disc Golf Course. I believe that has been considered for Water Tower Park. I don't see that being complete by the end of 2023. We don't have a design for it yet. So I'm wondering if that money for this next year couldn't move to the tennis court repairs.
Again, might be a timing issue there.
And I understand that the Frisbee Disc Golf Course, that would qualify for park impact fees, mm-hmm. whereas if that were moved to the tennis court repairs, we would lose that. But it's not a huge amount, and we're kind of out of the woods with our park impact fees for now. But
yeah, well, yeah, we can talk about that a little bit more.
Yeah.
We're in the process of doing an analysis on
okay.
that.
Alderwoman Hanneman, where is the senior fitness court being proposed to go?
It's considered to be moved to Ernie Lake.
To where?
Ernie Lake.
Okay.
Kind of around that perimeter.
Other comments or questions? All right, let's move on.
So maybe just really quick before we do, since you just asked about impact fees, if just an update, we know we have to spend about $1.2 million. My most recent calculation is that we're going to be just under $1.1 million, but the funds actually start to expire in 23, and they expire by month. So we still think there's going to be some more spending in 2022. We're just working with the city engineer to get all of that funding in place. But, yes, we do think we're going to be over that hurdle. We just need to make sure that we get over
gotcha.
That hurdle.
Okay.
And then you can see in the future years there's quite a few.
Yeah.
I think it was about $565,000 of park impact fees planned for next year's spending.
That's a great question.
I think we just did that a little bit ago.
Yep.
One question for Peggy, if I may. So I'm looking at like the furniture replacement for the library. Do we have the capability to buy a GSA contract?
We do, absolutely.
Is that typically what we do, or?
There's a lot of state contracts that we have access to. So basically, when we talk to the vendors, we just kind of implore them to go look for the best state contract pricing that we can get. But yeah, I think without having a ton of money for everything we do, that's really our best chance at getting. Good
yeah, because the profit is locked into what the guy used to get the sales end of that, and for the purchaser, it's a pretty good deal.
For sure, and you know, the mayor talked about this purchasing person that he wants to do certain things in finance. That's one of the things, is just making sure we're up on what's going on with all the state contracts and where our best options are and who are the vendors that typically provide those services and things like that, to maybe be an aid to all the departments for that. So that's definitely something we're going to be doing more in the future, but I can tell you all the department heads are very aware of that contract as well as other state contracts.
Other questions or comments?
So just one comment, if we could, on the library parking lot replacement. It's a very large initiative. Right now we have in the plan basically going halves, half city, half library. There's some concern on the library side, very well founded. Denise, myself, and the mayor are going to be meeting with the library director and the board president in the near future. We just want everybody to be very comfortable that we're not going, you know, the plan is not to short the library or anything like that. We just want to make sure that the funds are being adequately used wherever they are. So that one is a little bit up for discussion, but before the budget gets approved, we'll know exactly where we're at on that one.
Okay.
And then the remaining projects reside in the water and sanitary sewer area. That Ryan Road Sewer 76th Street, that's part of the fire hall, DPW, that's something that needs to take place in order for that project to move forward. So that's $1.6 million. And then the PPII, those are activities, policies, projects that come forward every year through that program for sanitary sewer. And then obviously there's plans for the water tower. We are hoping to be doing design for the connection to the alternate water supplier, And then each year they have water extensions and meter replacements and those types of things. So the 256 is just a nice summary, if you will, of everything that's going on in Fund 46. The total projects, sort of how it might get paid for with impact fees and a grant. And then you can see the number at the top, the borrowing, the $6.3 million. This is where something that in order to do the fire station and all those other things, there would be a greater amount of borrowing.
Any further questions? It's a pretty nice overview, I think, or snapshot. Not all of this, obviously, is full set goal, but you can kind of see how some of the pieces might start falling into place as these hit the start button, I guess, if I can say it that way.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And then Fund 47, maybe just do that one quickly.
All right. And that, as Peggy mentioned right up front with the Street Improvement Fund, there is a very nice, I think Tyler does this analysis on our streets and where they are at and whether they need to be redone. It's, you know, a very thorough look, and they continually to ask for additional funding to replace streets and upgrade them, and we are trying to give them a little bit more money this year. So that is why it went from the typical $1 million to $1.5 million to fund some additional road improvements.
I see, I mean, appreciate that. And a little disappointed that we had to take the $50,000 out of curb and gutter repair for the year.
So we didn't necessarily take it out. It's in there. It's just all under the 1.5. So they will do the extra curb and gutter just like they did the ADA work. But it's going to be dependent on the street. So it's not out. It's just not called out singularly in the budget.
So they have to use the $1.5 million to do that. So it's part of their additional funding, but.
And how is that being prioritized then?
I believe that'll be engineering staff recommendation to council.
There were just a few small projects that you can see that they did, that we did include in addition to the $1.5 million, and that was some, the road construction on Hawthorne, the mayor's drive drainage situation, and some stream bank stabilization.
And I might have said that backwards. It will likely be council direction to staff. I mean, staff will make the recommendation, but certainly council, if council, you know, wants there to be 75,000 of curbs or whatever that is, council can certainly make those directives.
I think what they're looking at is flexibility. If they're doing the road project, they want to do the curb at the same time. If it's a few dollars more, a few less, they want to do it all in one project.
Well, they have also done curb repairs in and of itself,
right,
singularly, and
yep.
I don't want to see that particularly stop because we want to spend the money on this bigger project when I've got constituents calling constantly complaining about their falling apart curb that they're driving up and down several times a day.
Yep. The road project, I think, has, if you read through the detail, and I spent a little bit of time with it, is a system we've used for years. But I think what you're starting to see is the maturity, the maturation of the streets a little bit in the age of our community. Early on, when developers were building and the roads were all brand new, it was great to go out and rate them, and wow, you know, they turned out eights and nines, and you know, everything looked great. Now you're starting to kind of see the what I would call maturation and the cycle starting to come back around on some of these. The other thing that I want staff to keep at least abreast is that if this economy does slow down, as some are anticipating, there may be opportunities for contractors and bidding and pricing that we have not seen in some recent times. That strategy had been used years back, and here again, it's laid out. It's not a surprise of what's coming, and what it's going to cost and some of the dollars that are needed. And if there's an opportunity where vendors or contractors are looking for work and pricing is aggressive, I don't see the city needing to pause or hesitate on spending 2 years' worth in 1 year or moving it up or whatever. I mean, these are just arbitrary 12-month, you know, slices that we put this budget in. If there's an opportunity to do work and it so presents itself, I would like, you know, that to be brought forward and council members to be aware of that as well. Because, again, this isn't going to take care of itself. It's not going to go away. I mean, it's just a matter of timing and how we split it up. And there will be opportunities, I think, in the marketplace sometimes to, you know, to use to our advantage. And since most of that is contracted out, I mean, absent some design work and whatever by the DPW, hopefully it's not an extra, you know, burden necessarily on them directly, other than maybe some admin and coordination and so on and so forth. But we'll see how that plays out. Anything else here?
So just to summarize, we have about $19.5 million in the overall capital plan in each of the, utilizing all those different funds.
And those summary pages 227 and 228 lay those out very well. Our next topic, if you will, is TIDS, but we do have pizza, so it's really a pleasure of the commission or committee. If you want to.
Well, there's no point in letting it. You guys are going to fatten us up here. I don't know if that's part of the strategy.
No, we're getting spoiled. I think we should start having dinners at common council meetings, too.
This is a big ask for the committee. We the city really understands that.
Why don't we go ahead and it would be my recommendation, take a quick pause. Grab something to eat, hit the restroom and whatever, and then be prepared in, 10 or 15 minutes maybe? What is it, almost 5:15 now? So we don't get delayed too long, but does that sound okay with the group?
Yep, sounds fine.
All right, let's go ahead and take a recess. Bean, kind of get going. I know some of us are still munching, and again, thank you again. Thank you for, and Denise for that. That's delicious. But let's go ahead and reconvene and continue to work our way through some of these remaining topics. And I don't have a preference if anybody has a. Otherwise, we can just do it the way it's listed here in the book or however you want.
Well, the next one that's listed on the agenda is the TIDS, so we can go to those. They start on page 300. So we have active districts in the community. There's TID 3 through 8. 3 is actually closing. I did just give you a little visual besides what's in your council packet. These are just some new one-pagers that were just doing a little test run with. Sometimes it's good to take a look at this, at the TIDs from a bit of a high level rather than the detail, just to kind of see what's going on. You'll notice with some of the older TIDs, they're all tied out to the audits, past audits, but I didn't go back and put every value and every increment in, etc. I will tell you for TID 3, that was created back in 2005. It was the city's oldest active TID. It had a base value of $173 million. It was statutorily going to close in 2025. It is closing in 2022. Council approved closure earlier this year. So basically what happens when an closure is approved, it starts going through a statutory process. The first part of that process is to notify the Department of Revenue. They get everything going, solidify the documents, the timing. They will not certify any increments for the following year. And then it kicks off a six-month period that an audit needs to be done. Ironically, our audit's due tomorrow, October 12th. Technically, you have a whole year to do it, but the Department of Revenue wants you to do it in the first 6 months, so you don't let it go. And you obviously know the most when it's sooner to the closure. So what you have in front of you is a pretty strong estimate. It's not the audit. We just got the draft audit yesterday. So it's not certainly the draft audit numbers, but it does tie out pretty closely. We do have some debt that's remaining on it after 2022, that $395,850. We will reserve that basically in the same fund. And then you see the distribution down at the bottom. That's just a little estimate. The distribution is all statutory. So basically, whatever remainder funds you have when a TID closes that aren't obligated for purchases go back the way they came in from the taxing entities. So that's why you just see the little chart with all the taxing entities on there. And everyone's part of what they paid for each of the 2 years' worth of increment, the two recent years. Those are the ones that we're basically refunding. That's how that's listed. So City of Franklin is getting right around $602,000 back. The council has already committed, ironically, just under 305 for the Southwest Park purchase that we talked about, that $1.5 million park. They thought that would be a good capital item to spend those funds on. That was approved at the October 4th council meeting. So then there's another $300,000. Again, when we talk about financial planning and what we're going to be looking at for some of our capital items, this is a very good choice. One-time funds, expense type of items. So those will definitely be in our recommendations. But that's just a look at TID 3. TID 4 is the Ascension, we call it the Ascension Hospital TID, Fund 49, Debt Service Fund. In Franklin, there's two funds for every TIF. There's basically an operations fund, if you will, a capital fund, as well as a debt service fund. Some communities do one fund, some do two. It's just a little bit extra accounting when you have two funds going on. The value in TID 4 is approximately $60 million. The way that works is we're looking at a closure in 2023 for that. The spending period ended in June of 2020, so there was some work done. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm getting a little nervous about some of that outstanding work right now because we're getting pretty far out from our expenditure period. It was all encumbered, just as it has to be statutorily, but we've been really putting some pressure on the city engineer to get that wrapped up in the next month or so that we can be on solid ground when we go into closure. The value of TID 3 was approximately $85 million at closure. I have the number here. Yeah, $85.7 million at closure. And you can kind of see what that looks like. TID 4, we're projecting next year in the right-hand column, it could have approximately $2 million left. We'll solidify everything at the end of this year, put a closure plan together. It's required to be done before April 15th of 2023. And then there's an adjustment. I will just pop back to TID 3 just because there's a couple other things. The council does want a presentation on this, and we'll certainly give it to them as well as Finance Committee. But basically, when you have this $85.7 million, it runs through a formula through the Department of Revenue. One half of it automatically goes back to a credit to the taxpayers. That's not a choice. The other one half of it has a value, and that value is $202,100, and that's what your levy can increase. So $202,000 goes back to the general tax roll, $202,000 can increase your taxes, and obviously with the growth we had this year, we only had 1.34% of growth, which got us about $295,000. Without this $200,000 for the TID closure, which will be an ongoing, it's now part of our levy base. Without that, there would have been a lot of things in this budget that we couldn't do. So again, Franklin has so many things going for it. The landfill siting fees, the fact that we're not using our general transportation aids for maintenance, we're using it basically for roads. The TID closures, the one we have this year, one we have next year, those are all things that help us so that we don't have to borrow additional funds, things that most communities don't have. So that was just a little aside on that one. Like I said, TID 4 is closing. TID 8 is overlaying it, but if it's okay, I'm just going to go right along in the packet. TID 5, Ballpark Commons. This is a tough one. This is what I'm going to call a stretch TID. They started in 2016, the TID was created. There's a lot of developer contributions. I believe there's about $27.5 million of debt outstanding in this TID that the city took on its credit. So that's a really tough one. In 1-1 of 23, the required value, according to the agreement, is $112 million. It's an estimate for 23. I do have our assessor working on it, but they weren't able to get back to me today with the final details. But I did add $20 million. Any bold numbers you see on the sheet, those are the things that are actual numbers. Anything that's not bold, those are still estimates. So, of course, everything through the 2021 audit is closed out. 2022, their value right now is $57 million. So we do know some things happened, right? The Lux Golf opened in August. They have two restaurants inside of there. They did have some more of their office space, medical building type space used up this year. They did get a lot of value from, they got about almost $4.3 million in 2022. And they do have another project going on, the top floor of a building that hopefully is going to proceed pretty soon so that they can get more value. But the bottom line is they just don't have enough land in this TID to do a lot more improvements. So I could be pessimistic on that $77.5 million that I'm thinking the increment's going to be on 1/1/23, but adding $20 million is pretty generous, I think. We did a little bit of research on Lux. It's kind of a company like Top Golf, which is all over the nation. So we've done some research on that, and I think the $77 million is probably pretty generous, but we'll see how that goes. You can see what that does and what the TID is short at the end of the... No, of course, there's going to be some inflation happening, right? Some tax rates sometime that are going to go up and different things like that. But all those negative amounts, the debt has to be paid off by the TID. If the debt's not paid off by the TID, the developer has to pay shortfall payments. So 2021, there was a shortfall payment, a normal amount. 2022, normal amount. 2023, normal amount. When we start paying those big debt service payments that are going to happen, if you look in that debt service column, in 2024, our debt payment jumps up from $1.4 million to $2.2. If you look at that delta, that could be the shortfall payment that the developer's looking at. So I do want to get a meeting with the developer, but I kind of wanted our assessor to come up with some likely values first before we do that. I do have a list of all the improvements they made this year. We have a list of all the permits, et cetera, but we have to keep our eye on this one. This was a really aggressive TID, saying that there was going to be $112 million in and basing that $27 million of debt on that. It's just something we have to watch very closely and see how it goes. The good part, if you will, is if some of the TIF doesn't perform, there's some developer incentives that happen at the end. Those wouldn't happen, but we still have to pay off this debt. And that debt is principal and interest. So that's the way TID 5 looks today. TID 6, we just did an amendment on TID 6. I think most of you are familiar with it. The long story short on that is the developer came to us back in March and said they wanted to expand the district to add another property, Rise Commercial. It's a multi-building business incubator type business. And it was really important. Well, long story short, was half of the property that they CSM'd the property, and half of it was in the TID and half of it was out. And by state law, that can't be. So it either had to be a territory addition amendment or a territory subtraction amendment. And the developer really wanted it to be a territory addition. So what the council did at that point was took the opportunity to say to the developer, hey, we got a list of things that we need cleaned up in the development agreement, because that development agreement had some issues, let's just say. We were able to do some things like get rid of, they did a bunch of public improvements. We did already a $9 million city geo debt issue on it, but then they have a $3.1 million MRO that they're going to get. We were able to push the interest off on that until January of 2024. We were able to add more administrative costs to the TID, because otherwise basically the developer would get paid before the city did. There was a really, really, really dangerous clause in there called an expansion MRO, which had a lot of exposure to the city, and basically we nailed that down to no more than $1.5 million could be charged to it. So in the original development agreement, there were like three areas. The Rhine Meadows, the single-family homes, high-end single-family homes, those were kind of set aside. And then there was the, what, known to be the Strauss, known to be Copart, and one other piece to it. And so what we did is, and to tell you the truth, the developer agreed with these changes because I think he saw some of the writing on the wall. The bottom line is there's zero vertical construction in that district right now. And the TID started in 2018, which, again, the developer knows that the city has expectations on that, but they do have a lot of tax assessment guarantees. So there's a tax assessment guarantee with Strauss. There's a tax assessment guarantee with Copart. There's a new tax assessment guarantee that the council is actually going to be considering on the 18th for RISE, a $5 million one for RISE. So it's really nice that we get some tax assessment guarantee payments, but we really want development, right? That's why we do these TIDs, is so that we can get development. So with all that said and done, the project plan that was just approved by the Joint Review Board, the Common Council, the Plan Commission, and is going to the Department of Revenue before the end of this month, reduces the project cost by $400,000. And we believe that it's actually closer to $2 million plus because the previous project plan was understated. So working with Ehlers, we came up with a new project plan. What you see here on this one-pager, this is exactly from the project plan. So in the end, we think that the city's going to be much better off with this amendment in place and have some lower obligations and risk on the project. So, again, very early in its life. It's only 2018 begin. It doesn't close statutorily until 2039. So we'll keep working on that.
The housing side, I was surprised, I guess, and not down there necessarily on a daily or weekly basis, but there were more homes in there than I kind of envisioned.
They do. They've been getting, and you know, we've been hearing things about the economy slowing down with the interest rates peaking and things like that, but I check with inspection services every 2 weeks, and they're still taking out permits, and they're still moving along. So they're thinking that's going to be filled pretty quick. Now, that's kind of the easiest part to do. I mean, it's not. To build houses of that nature are not easy, but when you look at some of the other options, we do think there might be something coming on the big Strauss property in the near future. Hopefully we'll... As soon as we know something, we'll certainly pass that along. But for right now, we have residential construction and a bunch of commitments on assessment values.
And the total debt on that is 6 and 3?
I'm sorry. I need to put that down there. The total debt that we have, the debt service we have outstanding right now today is $9 million. We have another $845,000 built in. Long story short, there was a $1.5 million debt issue, and we'll talk about that when we get to the debt stuff. $1.5 million debt issue to extend the water main on and sewer on Ryan Road down to where the new condo development is going to be. The city engineer in the spring of this year decided he would rather do it than sub that out to the contract, to the developer. So we kind of split it in half, you might say. There's now the city's going to do its share, which is going to be the water main extension. The TID is obviously going to pay for that, so $845,000 is built into this, as well as the developer at some point, part of that $1.5 million that I told you on the expansion MRO, he will be able to do the sewer and then the private infrastructure, you might call it, within the condominium development. So there will be about $10 million of debt outstanding. And like I said, I mean, we have the tax increment, some tax increment coming in. We do believe 1/1/23, that $25 million of value is probably going to be pretty darn close based on what's been going on out there. But anything we have the assessment guarantees. I think the Strauss one is $12 million. The Copart one was $3 million this year, $6 million next year. And then the RISE one will be $5 million. So, you know, he's got $22 million guaranteed by assessment guarantees.
TIF 6, anything further?
So TIF 7, there's actually two models of this that we're running right now. The first one is the one you see in your packet, which doesn't look very good. This is basically what we thought it was going to look like. So we guaranteed the developer $15 million in PAYGO. We had another $4.5 million that we borrowed in geo debt. well, $3 million and then an internal transfer for another $1.5 million. Long story short, we got really lucky on this one. In 2022, Mandel just sold Velo Village. I don't have the official sales price, but I believe it was in the neighborhood of $80+ million. So right now, if you look at it, what we thought, we don't have the recorded value in, but we'll get it in soon. It just sold end of June. At the 38 million, you know, you can see how we were going to go down to 2043 before closure. It was getting a little tight, but I just did a quick little run on an 80 million one, and this TID could actually pay itself off now 10 years earlier because of that sale. And that's a conservative number because I don't have the estimate on it. But TID 7, definitely one of the stronger TIDs for the city. Not something I think we have to worry about. We do have the PAYGO payments, but we think that the tax increment we're going to be getting in is going to more than cover that, as well as, you know, any other expenses. We are looking right now. The reason you don't see any new debt for TID 8, and we'll talk about that in a minute when we get to TID 8, but the developer, when he sold the property, when Mandel sold the property, they paid back all of the loans, right? So we take the $1.5 million, pay it back to the internal advance, that's fine. But there's still $3 million of public borrowed money out there right now that doesn't have a purpose for it. And what we're trying to do right now is work with bond counsel to see if they're willing, because it's taxable debt, right? So taxable debt, private use on TID 7. Private use is what we need it for on TID 8. We need about, ironically, $2.5 million out of the $3 million. So it would be really nice if we didn't have to continue to make those interest payments under the auspices of TID 7 and let TID 8 pay for it and actually utilize the money. So that's what we're working on with bond counsel. Taxable debt, usually on tax-exempt debt, they're a little more stingy on it, but on taxable debt, there's less reason for them to be stingy. We work with some very conservative bond counsel advisors, so we have some work to do on that, but I've seen it done in the past, and it certainly could be done. So that's our goal, is to try to reuse that. But
yeah, I think the coupon on that's pretty reasonable.
Mm-hmm. Very much, yeah. And we don't have new, then we wouldn't have to have new
issuance
borrowing costs. We wouldn't have to go through a formal bond sale. You know, we don't have to do the record keeping on a whole new issue. It would be simply a matter of two or three GL transactions, and we could be back on track. So that is what we're hoping for on that one.
And is there a call date on that? Or
usually your first call is not sooner than 10 years out.
So
I don't know the specific one on that.
So we've got a ways to go on
yeah.
that anyway.
Yeah.
So if we could redeploy it, that would be a win-win, it sounds
exactly.
like.
Exactly. Exactly. And what I failed to mention is they did pay us a premium of $4 million that we negotiated with them. So there was something called a contingent interest savings clause in the agreement. And honestly, if you would ask Ian Martin from Mandel, he would have never thought this was going to happen. This was like a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. But that calculation was actually much higher, more than two times what we settled for. But their first offer to us was $800,000. And we said, no, thank you. We employed SB Freeman to help us do a lot of work on it. And, you know, they inched up. They got to about, I think by last December, they were about at $2.3 million. And we just said, no, thank you. We're okay. And council was okay with that. They said, if we can't get, you know, a piece of the win, then we're good holding it just like it is. And in the end, we told them our floor was $4 million, and they paid us $4 million. So it can't be, it's not free, right? It can't be used for capital projects, but TIDs can do things, right? TIDs can share money with other TIDs in the same districts. TIDs can support other infrastructure needs in its own district. So there's enough things out there that will make sure, you know, in the next few years here that we're on top of that and we're making sure that can work.
The council members here, I mean, there's two sides to these TIFs. I mean, I think you know the risk going in. Some of them have longevities before you were elected and so on and so forth, maybe even included in the voting and whatever. And some of them, as we just talked about, have some indigestion with them that comes along too. So to have some that have wins in them, it just, you know, helps out, and it's part of the balancing act. So I don't think there's any what's the term I want to use? you know, for any pause on taking those when the opportunity presents them. these developers are in this for risk and return and profit as well. They came out smelling very, very nicely, very quickly. The interest rate market obviously was to their benefit, but that's some of the things that goes on. I mean, you know, you're in the lending business basically at that point.
And some of these TIDs, you know, 5, 6, 7, those are monies that we took on ourselves. When we start to talk about TID 8, there's a lot less of that upfront cost other than public infrastructure that the city's willing to take on. We've kind of switched our philosophy a little bit more from paying upfront and borrowing debt on our full faith, the city's full faith, to letting the developer do it, take a little bit more of the risk. And if they get the reward, then we'll help them out, right? If they pay us the taxes, then we're able to share it back. So we call that the PAYGO model. So we're definitely going in that direction with a lot of new ones. Anything else on TID 7? TID 8, our newest, we call this now, it's officially the Business Park Overlay. We call it the Corporate Park, created in May of 2020. Basically as an overlay to TID number 4. It did have that base value of $49 million. It's going to statutorily close in 2041. We have three projects going on there pretty strongly. We have WanGuard, a development agreement with WanGuard, where they've committed to 335,000 square feet. We have HSA. Oh, I'm sorry. No, they're actually more than that, 235 each. So they're 470,000 square feet. HSA is at 271,000 square feet, and Saputo is very close to moving forward. They have their permit stuff in. They're estimated at 335,000 square feet, so over 1.1 million square feet of new improvements. Now, with that said, it's not all great because we have Hickory to put in, right? Hickory, we borrowed money for last November. That one is approximately $3.5 million. We have Elm Road to improve and widen. We're looking at, in today's dollars, about $5.5 million on that. We have about $1 million of stormwater we need to put in. And then there were some incentives slash assistance given to different businesses, WanGuard specifically, and that's the borrowing. Oh, wait, they already have them, actually. Sorry about that. That debt schedule that I gave you, just that little analysis, that'll kind of show you what it looks like for 2022. So we had in our 2022 plan $7.6 million that we were going to borrow. That is now down to $6.745 million. The way that breaks out is that $845,000 that I mentioned for the main extension, water main extension in TID 6, we have $2.5 million in TID 8, the one we're talking about, and that is $1.75 million for the ATC line movement for the WanGuard property, as well as a $750,000 development incentive for WanGuard, and we did pay that one up front. That was the last one we paid up front, and really it was just a matter of dollars and cents. If we were going to do it as a PAYGO, we were agreeing to an X amount, and if we were doing it up front, we were agreeing to Y, and Y ended up being a better deal for the city. They are actually having a an open house next on the 26th to show off what they have done with the building. So we're in good shape on that. They have a minimum value assessment guarantee or a shortfall required on both HSA. HSA is committed as well. Council just approved that on September 20th. They have a minimum and a maintenance value, so they have to stay over $17.5 million. And we're working on a similar agreement with Saputo. So $6.745 million we're expecting late in 22. Depending on what happens, we can cash flow this, so we don't necessarily need to borrow this money in 22. You know, we've got a lot of things coming up, right? Interest rates, not that great. We have a big election coming up, perhaps not that great. So we'll see how that goes. Work with Ellers, our financial advisors, on our bond offerings and see where that's at, but basically it's $2.5 million for TID 8, $845,000 for TID 6, and about $3.4 million for that new water tower that's going to be bid out in the very near future. So that's the debt service that we have listed. Actually, the debt service we have listed in this TID so far is only the debt service that has been taken out, and that's that $3.5 million for Hickory. But this, and then the developer payments I have in the separate column, you know, over time, it's about 5.5 million. There's solidified deals in there as well as one pending deal. But for a newer TID, we're not in such bad shape. And don't even look at that 18 point whatever million, because that's just not a real number. Not about line five. I'm just looking at it. So I'll get that taken care of. So anyway, that is TID 8. I don't know if there's any questions on that one. So I'd say TID 3, solid closing. TID 4, solid closing. TID 5, we're worried. TID 6, we did some things to improve it. We'll see how that goes. TID 7, we're good. And TID 8, just needs a little bit of time.
Which one you said you were worried about? Ballpark Commons, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. That's the one that has the biggest gap right now.
But there's probably the most, there's pretty strong development probably between, should be coming online between next year with the hotel and, I mean, it should continue to
it
ramp
should.
Up.
They have the hotel. Lux Golf's not in there. Those two restaurants in with the Lux. A little bit, like I said, on the office side, the medical office building type
Marsh
side.
Building.
But I estimated $20 million for next year. Even if it doesn't all come on next year, you know, the estimated value of that is 112. So they just don't have a lot of land left to do a lot more there. So we'll see how it goes. We're obviously going to work with a developer. As soon as I get the numbers from the assessor, that's going to be my next call, is just to go sit down with them again. We sit down periodically to talk about where the value's at and, you know, what the requirements are, that kind of thing. So we'll stay on that one. But that's probably the biggest one that, and keep in mind, TID success isn't always about money, right? Sometimes it's getting rid of an eyesore, or, you know, there's some more intangibles. It's just that the money is so important that we can't lose sight of it.
Anything further? Any questions, comments? TIDs.
Work in progress, but these are kind of what we want to share going forward, just because it's a little quicker look. You know, there's some things we can definitely expand on. Make better in these. I kind of took these. We had a joint review board meeting earlier in September, and we're required one time per year to tell the joint review board about the TIDs and where we're at. So we have the TID report that's due to the Department of Revenue every July, but it honestly doesn't tell them much. So this was an attempt to try to tell them a little bit more about what's going on and frame it a little bit better for them. So. They love it when TIDs close. All of our taxing entity partners are very happy about TID 3 closing, very happy about TID 4 closing next year. Those are the wins, you might say. And the good thing about TID 3 and 4 is, you know, there's some TIDs. You can go through the whole 25, 27-year life, depending on the type of TID, and you can get done, and basically everyone wants to start over. These TIDs have good value. One has $60 million, one has $85 million. That means those 2, 3, and 4, huge successes.
Yeah. And even five, I mean, I know it's has some consternation, but you have to remember that was a landfill. How many communities have put development in and around landfills? Maybe that should tell us something, but, there's good and bad with it. But anyway, can I ask one quick question? Older Park, Corporate Park 60th. Cocoa plant. Which building are they going in?
I was so busy with this stuff, I didn't go to the grand opening last week, so I don't know exactly what building they're in. But I can certainly find out for you.
That's not the Harley building, is it?
I don't think so.
I mean, it's pretty big, I thought.
It's huge. Okay, so just south.
I was going to say, I got an email on it.
I can find the address for you.
And we don't have to have the dialogue now, but... Somebody asked me, and why they think I am the knowledge base for all of this stuff or whatever. But you know, I was just looking at it, and I'm thinking, what space was large enough, or who's moving around, or whatever in there? I mean, it sounds like it's a kind of neat operation.
Definitely. Did you see the Business Journal article?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, because I can certainly send that along. But yeah, it was really excited, and there's been a lot of excitement. Our inspection services department has been working with them for a long time, you know, trying to get this up and going and everything. And there's a lot of excitement around that. So,
Joe has a question.
Geographically challenged, they will tell you that. You know, usually I'm always like hopping on GIS. And
so, Peg, the business park overlay open house is the 26th, you said?
The WanGuard one, yes.
The WanGuard?
Yep.
All right, is that open to anybody? Can I go to that?
I believe it is open to the public, yes.
Okay, do you know what time that starts at all? Do you have any details on that?
11
o'clock?
11 a.m.?
It's 11 to 1.
Okay.
I can send you the reservation link.
Okay, cool.
Yes,
thank
11
you.
To 1. 3617
right.
Oakwood.
All right. Mainly because it's right by my house.
Oh.
I'd like to see it.
Yeah. Yeah, I've heard a lot of good things.
That location, I think, should be highly sought after.
For sure. Once we get Hickory in and Elm
yeah.
upgraded, it, you know, Oak Creek, I talk to Oak Creek all the time, and they just, it just burns them like you can't believe that Elm only goes our way, but sometimes you get lucky.
All right, moving on.
So we kind of start talking a little bit about that one-page debt summary. I do have, I'm going to just pull it up real quick here. We put our debt schedule right in here. We thought that might just be something good to reference. We have been working with Ehlers for quite some time, obviously on our debt issuing and monitoring. They do all of our continuing disclosure for us. And the bottom line is, as a service that they provide, is to maintain all of your debt schedules. So whether we could do a state trust fund loan, we could do whatever, flip it to them, they'll include it in our debt schedule. So that's kind of how we've been going on that. But I think these two charts that are listed on page 281 in the budget really show a lot. You know, city-wise, we don't have a lot of debt. At the end of 22, we're looking at $5.6 million general obligation debt. Again, a city our size that is able to borrow $271 million that only has $5.6 outstanding for general fund, that means there's a lot of good things going. I know we keep talking about it, but it's the landfill siting. You know, it's good management, you know, good and bad, frugalness, but that's where it's at, and so that's really not bad. You can look at our TID debt. It's a little scarier. $48 million at the end of 22, projected to be 47 by the end of 23, and then in 24 is when we really start paying off a good share. But this helped us to be able to break down things a little bit more on our schedule. You will see $6.5 million of borrowing in the. You saw it when we looked at the Fund 46. We borrow $2 million by course of business, $2 million every other year for capital projects, and that's been working really well. When you have some of these bigger items like the DPW facility or perhaps the fire station, you know, those are going to have to be outside of that $2 million likely. That's what it looks like for 2023. But it's just going to be community decisions all along the way, right? Because we put something in a budget doesn't mean it's necessarily happening. It still has to be approved by, you know, the council who answers to the community and based on what our needs are. But again, the impact fees are the other thing. As I mentioned, the other things we have going on for us, I know people don't love impact fees, but growth pays for growth, and that's really the benefit of having those impact fees in place. So. So the debt schedule just kind of shows it by purpose at the end of 2021, anything that we have outstanding in 2022, and then just showing, you know, how much we're making in payments, how much we're taking on in new debt. So if that helps you characterize it a little bit better, you will see in the write-up it talks a lot about everything we have going on, a lot of the stuff we've been talking about with all the TIDs. The story of debt is in Franklin is TIDs, and so now we just need to work to balance that a little bit more as we move forward. Page 282, which is the next page of the budget on the debt schedule, again just shows you it by year. This is not a cumulative effect. This is just each of those years how much debt was taken out and what was the type. So that's what that looks like. On 283, there's nothing to really read out loud, but this is a really good history. This was done for many years as debt was taken on. We left that in there. We're going to keep it in there and keep growing the list just to, you know, this is Franklin's debt story, if you will. And then you'll see our debt schedules. And then.
Peggy?
Yep.
One clarification. On 282.
Mm-hmm.
The debt policy imposed by the city, number one says at least 70% due within 10 years.
Yeah.
Were we slightly below that?
We have not been, we have not hit that in the last 3 years, actually. So, yes, that was the policy, and that's definitely something that the, I have 22 here as well.
And again, that's directly related with the TIF.
The TID, right, exactly. So you know, the policy should be reviewed on a regular basis anyway. But, yeah, I looked back a couple years. In 2022, in the 2022 budget, it said 64% was due within 10 years. We popped up 1.8%, but we're not to 70. That's a hard ask, to be really honest with you, because we don't take out really long-term debt. Most of our debt is, you know, we take a lot of 10-year debt out for things that aren't, you know, facilities and things like that. 20 years is our max, so to have 70% paid off in 10 years is a pretty tall ask. Not that it's a bad thing, it's just a tall ask. The other limitation that the city has is that 40%, right? So maybe we can finish talking about this one first. But yeah, you are correct. We're not hitting that.
Well, and again, we have to realize that there's a blip in you know, the expansion of 18 and 19 when the two larger TIFs with the larger borrowings and the improvements came on. So there was kind of a bulge that's going through the system. I'm sure that when this was originally written, it was probably focused more on municipal debt versus what might be kind of a bulge of TIF debt.
That's true. For what it's worth, the other two criteria are obviously being met. And then the next thing we should probably just mention is we are allowed by, and I put this all in the letter too. I'm not sure if you got a chance to read the letter, but if you flip, you don't necessarily have to flip there, but there's a page of the letter that really talks about it. I just wanted to make sure we outline everything in detail with regard to debt, just because it's so important. It's actually page 3 of the document. There's a header called Managing Debt, and it just walks you through. So the bottom line is statutorily we can borrow 5% of our equalized value. 5% or $5.5 billion is our equalized value. $271.1 million is what we could have outstanding at any given time. In the industry, the rule of thumb is 50% or less. Keep it under 50%, and you know, your Moody's and your S&P and Fitch, those they're going to say we're doing a good job. This council, I forgot what year it was, 2020, I believe, imposed this 40. We can't spend more than 40% of our, you know, 2% of the 5% or 40%, which is right now about 100 and...
About 103, I think.
135 is what we can do. Oh, wait, sorry, 135 is... 108.5. This limit, currently calculated at $108.5 million, was adopted by the council in 2019. So that's where we could be at. We're at 70-ish million, so we're definitely below that. But I will tell you, as with this TID debt outstanding, and as we get some of these needs going with whether it be fire or the fire station or the DPW facility or whatever big improvements are coming in the future, we will have to watch that. But I would say it's a good rule of thumb, especially knowing that we're very well respected at 50%. We're not that far from it. So I've worked for cities that have been 60 and 70% leveraged, and it's there's not a lot of good options. So as much as we can adhere to something like this, there were good, strong policies put in place for very good reasons, and hopefully we can do what we can to work within those or adjust them as little as we can.
Yes, go ahead.
Peggy, did you say that there was going to be some debt falling off in 2024?
2024 is when we start to pay the principal on some of the Ballpark Commons debt.
Okay.
So that's, I wouldn't necessarily say falling off, but it gets to be a fair debt payment. We're paying off about $4 million per year.
Okay.
In 22, we paid off 4.3. In 2023, we're paying off just shy of $4 million.
And then, but yeah, I was actually just referring to the TID 7 debt, the very first big payment. You know, we don't pay principal until we pay $100,000 in 2024. We had some capitalized interest, which is what's keeping our costs down right now, but then we're going to get into paying a lot more on that. And then we do have a balloon payment coming in 2029, but of course we're going to deal with that in advance of 2029. There's actually a schedule I could create that would just be like this one pager that would show you all the way out. And it might be helpful just to kind of see what that looks like.
Would. Especially, like as you say, as we're contemplating some big projects coming down the way.
Mm-hmm. I'll do that. We'll present that at a finance meeting.
But yes, some of those new... those newer TIFs are kind of reaching that point. Then they will, as you say, have some accelerated or starting to ramp up. Now, unfortunately, we didn't have the benefit of all the development phases with COVID and everything, so that brings about some of the indigestion we've already talked about, I think, but that will be an ongoing watch.
Definitely.
The one comment I might make to the council members here, as we talk about debt, Franklin is in a very, very favorable position. And you can say, well, is it too conservative, good planning, you know, should we be more aggressive on development, whatever, whatever. I think there's another thing that kind of is a real benefit of that, and that's the term I use, financial flexibility. You don't know what's ahead tomorrow. You don't know necessarily where interest rates are going to be, what the economy is going to do, who might show up your door to do, you know, what. We just had a town square, you know, being talked about. Or, you know, there could be another cocoa plant or something, you know, waiting. So financial flexibility, whether it's a government, business, an individual, I think is always, always, always a big attribute to have in your pocket. It gives you advantage. It gives you choices. When Peggy talked about other communities, 67% of their debt limit, I mean, some of those decisions are made for you because it's just not an option, right? Mm-hmm. So for whatever that's worth, maybe it's a little bit more opinion than anything else, but I think it's just a word of advice. You know, we've got landfill siting, trying to use those judiciously, offsetting some of the borrowings and some of the things, but I mean, I think that financial flexibility, especially going forward, we still have open land. Developers are still going to come knocking on the door. They're going to want X, they're going to want Y, or, you know, whatever. Does the market demand it? Maybe, maybe not. You know, but you don't know what's kind of around the next turn.
And for what it's worth, I think the city has done a really good job up to this point with that very thing. You know, keeping its options open, not taking on too much, not, you know, overextending itself or, you know, looking at that big thing. You know, our council has really good discussions about every development agreement I've talked to them about, and it's probably been 6 in the last 2.5 years. But the council has really good insight on that whole thing, and I think they lean on the finance committee a lot to keep them in line too. So,
well, and some of these now, you can see the blip if you look at, you know, page 282. I mean, there's some TIF, you know, that's out there. And you know, there may be other things that come along, and maybe we just have to, you know, somewhat be cautiously, you know, optimistic or pause on some things in terms of say, hey, wait, you know, we're not ready for that next bite at this point in time. The land isn't going to run away. The development's still going to be there. But, you know, everyone can't have, you know, their hands in the bank at the same time, although they would like to be, but... yes, go ahead.
If I could just follow up on that, I think the point being, earlier this year when we first saw the presentation about the new fire station project, which was also combined with the DPW garage expansion and remodel. I think the total price tag of that was going to come in about $27 million. That alone would absorb what I call, I mean, coming from a former purchasing agent, I would call it a 31.3 open to borrow is kind of what I calculate we have here with our debt limit. So that would absorb our entire capacity for borrowing if we were to go forward with that full project. And so now we see we've kind of scaled back. Okay, that's not a possibility right now. The fire department being an urgent need to meet the demands of our new development in health and safety. But yeah, we just can't do that full project right now.
Yeah, I think that was an eye-opener for the community, to be honest with you. We've got a lot of feedback on that. I'm sure all of you have too, but I think we knew that we needed to go back to the drawing board on that.
My concern is that I can see a lot of infrastructure needs coming up here in the future, as particularly when you look at roads, but roads aren't the only thing. And I want to make sure that we have ample resources and avenues to address those. You know, I mean, I'm not complaining about my road, but my road's 42 years old and hasn't been touched, and there are older roads than that, and eventually that stuff has to be taken care of.
Right. And you and I often talk about the maintenance, right? The maintenance that goes along with all of that stuff, not just those capital needs, but on the operating side. And it's a fine line to walk, right? I mean, our community has expectations with regard to taxes and things like that. They also have expectation with regards to services. It's our job to find what that balance is in there.
And I am recently received another complaint about the chip and seal process. And the interesting part about it was, is they said, you know, it's not a cheap place to live, and we accept that, but this is not the level of what we want to accept as what's going forward. So,
agree. I have several constituents that won't even drive down that road. I took another complaint again yesterday, and it's like they're never ending.
Been getting a lot of feedback on that.
Yep, I think you hit the nail on the head. The tax one is difficult, though, when, you know, they look at it from a total standpoint, as most of us do when we get it, and what we're talking about here is only 25% of that, you know, total. So not to pass it on to our brethren, but they have to be aware of what's happening at the other jurisdictions as well, school, county, and MATC.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and it's interesting because I was at a strategic planning for the city of Oak Creek as one of their, Franklin being one of their business partners, and they were talking about the Oak Creek Franklin School District was there, not the Franklin School District, and they were talking about how horrible Franklin is for taxes. And I said, you know, we were talking about a little bit and we were kind of jabbing each other, and I just said, you know, the city of Franklin is under $5 per thousand. And they said, what? I mean, there's not, I should have brought you in our tax bill each year, we put the list. In fact, the mayor showed some of those.
Mm-hmm.
But we're at, you know, four this year, we're probably going to be somewhere around $4.40 per thousand. Other similar size or larger communities in the area are over $12 per thousand. So, yes, Franklin has very nice homes, which is why taxes are more, but it's not the tax rate that's causing it. You can get three times the home in Franklin that you can get in any other community. Mm-hmm. So, it's also a bit of that messaging too that sometimes people forget.
Anything else? Let's move on.
Okay. So the next thing on my list would just be the self-insurance fund, and again, I just got that out to you tonight. That starts on page 323. You know, there's a lot of things that we can and can't do for people. We're not the highest payer in the world when it comes to payroll. We do have a 2% across the board increase in for 2023. But as far as health insurance goes, back in 2020, we really took a leap, and we had some really high health insurance costs for our employees and their families compared to all of our neighboring jurisdictions. The personnel committee has been doing a lot of work on this. This budget for 2023 for health insurance benefits and dental benefits are basically leaving everything the same. No change in administrators. We're still doing the Nice Healthcare, which is a mobile clinic for our employees. That's totally paid for by the city. The reason it's paid for by the city, and that one on that little chart that I just gave you today on page 323, that about three quarters of the way down the first column, Nice Healthcare plan costs. This year it only costs us $79,000. It's going to cost $97 next year, but basically what that does is that's a paid-in-full one-year program for everybody, over 550 medications, any regular physicals, not gender-specific, but any regular physicals, chronics, monitoring, just regular, like, sports physicals. You know, I have a rash, I have a sore, I have, you know, this hurt, that hurt, X-rays are included, and all blood work is included. So we invested in that 2 years ago, December of 2020, because we're trying to take a bite out of our claim costs. And although it's a bit anecdotal, we do think that's happening. Our claim costs really haven't had a high claim cycle, knock on wood, for a number of years, about 8 years. So for 2023, we're looking at 2022 budget was $3,494,000 for expenditures. We are now looking at $3,639,000, which, again, I've been talking to a lot of my peers, and they're seeing double-digit increases for next year. So I think we're doing a pretty good job by just trying to keep everything the same. We are going to spend a bit of fund balance, about $51,000, but we have ample fund balance, and that's our idea, is to just spend a little bit down each year, have a soft landing, not a hard landing. And basically, if you read the intro, the first page, 322 of the budget, you'll just see, you know, some of the changes we made for 20, you know, all along the years. But for 2023, there's one change, and that's the IRS qualified high deductible has to be $1,500, $3,000. We had $1,428, so it's $100 up, two per family. So that's the only change for 2023. No change in premiums, no change in premium share, and we're actually having a lot of retirees. That the ironic thing is our retiree claims aren't crazy. So again, that's a positive thing for the city. Any questions on self-insurance?
Yes, go ahead.
Peggy, what types of things do you, you've got $21,100 in miscellaneous costs that you're budgeting for in 2023 that you didn't have this year? I'm just wondering what sort of things those might be.
So those things, it wasn't that we just weren't as good at budgeting last year. They existed. Sometimes we have to pay some COBRA costs. We have a PCORI fee we have to pay. We have a, it's really just a bunch of small stuff here. I have some details. And you'll kind of see it if you flip through the page. So our section 125, our flex spending, FSA, $1,300, ACA transmittal, a transitional, $1,100. We have some wellness initiatives, bank fees. We have our third-party administrator that's doing the claims basically took all of that off of finances plate at the beginning of 22. So all the banking and the recons are happening there, all the check releases, all of that. That was another $2,700. So really, it's just we're just getting better at budgeting. It's not a change of costs.
Excuse me, I know there was a lot of work put into those changes, and it sounds like they're being effective.
So far, so good, definitely. So the next topic, if there's nothing else on that one, is the tax levy and the tax rate. I know this is always a big one for a lot of our citizens. Sometimes people read, get to this far in the presentation, and then they really stop. So it's kind of interesting. We have a tax decrease essentially every year, which, you know, some people will say, well, why does that happen? How does that happen? But basically, when you're doing a revaluation every year, that's really how it works, right? If my property value goes up by 10%, then my tax rate should go down by 10%. That's an inverse relationship that those have. So I was just going to go to a couple slides here that I think are important. So this is just on page 13. This is where we start. We just wanted to give you a picture of what assessed values look like in the history. We don't have 2022 on. The reason we don't is we aren't going to get our statement of assessment from the Department of Revenue, which includes our manufacturing numbers, until about November 1st. But we know we revalue every year, so we're going to be right around 100%. So if I go to the next schedule, this is the Department of Revenue equalized value. That's on page 14, all the way down in the corner. Our 2022 equalized value is $5.4 billion. If you'd look at, there was one schedule we had. Let me just see if I can find it. Well, this one, this is a good one. The next page, page 15. If you look at our equalized value, now I'm about halfway down on the page, just below the single line and above the double line. In 2018 tax year 19 budget, we were at a $4 billion value. We're sitting today at 5.4. Now, somebody might look at that and say, oh, that's all growth. It's not all growth. A lot of it is, right, because you can see the TID district changes and things like that. But we also do a revaluation every year so that we don't have a big hit in any one given year, as well as a big expenditure in one given year. So we do this revaluation every year. But just the fact that our values went from $4 billion. And if I would show you some history from 2007 until about 2017, everybody's values were pretty flat, right? That's when we were going through the recession, and we just weren't seeing a lot. Now we're seeing a lot of growth. Well, as we see that growth and our equalized value go up, we should also see our tax rates go down, which is what you see where it says equalized. I mean, these are a lot of crazy numbers. I will just tell you, the equalized value is this. This is how we compare to everybody else in the state. The assessed value is how we slice the pie within our own community. That's the difference. And while those two have a relationship to each other and we revalue every year so they should be close to 100% of each other, there is always a slight differentiation between the two. You can see all the TID values. So basically we take the, there's a lot of crazy formulas through the state. So basically we take all of our general tax levy and we collect taxes on everything. We keep track of all of our TIDs in equalized value, because we have a lot of other taxing entities, and so that's how the state makes us do it. So we basically take that and put it in a little corner and put that aside, and then we say, how much do we have? So that city tax levy TID out, it's about four lines from the bottom. That's really where our tax levy is sitting. A 2.2, it's recommended at a 2.22% increase, going from 22.4 million to 22.9 million in 2023 budget. And even though the levy is going up, the tax rate is going down, and that's the very next line below that is the 437. Now, we're estimating or guessing on the very bottom line that our tax rates are, that we're going to see on our tax bills is about 440 compared to that 437, two pennies. It's going to be somewhere, you know, within those, I'd say 3 cents or something, just because we revalue every year. But so that means that anybody, our average increase in property values this year was about 10%, so that anybody who's under that, anybody who didn't do any improvements to their house, things like that, weren't in a, you know, sometimes, you know, condos go up, sometimes single families go up, sometimes two stories go up versus ranches, different things, but generally speaking, the majority of our citizens will see a reduction from the city side. I haven't seen any of the levies from the other communities. I know the school district is both school districts are working under a referendum right now, so they're higher than they typically would be. I've heard the county is not looking at raising. I know MMSD's raising theirs just because they need it for some operation projects they have going on, and I haven't heard anything from MATC. So from what I see so far and what I've been hearing from our taxing partners, we should probably see a pretty stable tax rate for this year. Or I shouldn't say that, a stable tax, not necessarily a tax rate. But when you look at, you know, how much did our levy go up versus how, you know, where did our rate change? The levy limit form, and I think we included that in your packet. I think it's probably coming on the next page, if I'm not mistaken. Oh, this is just some history. So this should just show us a 10-year look at where our tax levy has been, where our assessed rate has been, as well as our equalized rate. You can just do that comparison. But again, assessed tax rate is our internal one. Equalized compares us to the rest of the state. But on our municipal levy form, it's really pretty straightforward. We got on line 5, we got that increase for our TID closure. On line 6, we get the net new construction. So basically, our tax levy could go up $495,000. The line 9 adjustment, so it's a long story, but the way debt service works on a tax levy is you can borrow as much as you want. Keep in mind, you have to pay for it, right? So you have to tax your citizens. But we use a $539,000 adjustment for debt service. That's been used here, and it just comes from a schedule on the back page. It's been used for many, many years. It's just it's used at that level amount so that we can be assured that we're not increasing taxes. Now, what I will tell you is you hear a lot of communities talk about tax levy problems, right? There's a lot of communities that want the state to change the rules. We don't have that problem. That's not a problem for us. We have debt payments. You saw our debt payments, our annual debt service debt payments. I could put even the ones that are for TID and for water and sewer that have abatement sources, we could put all that in here because all we have to do is we can add it on every year up here on line 3 and then subtract it back off on line 9. So this city could really tax as much as it wants to, right? That's not this city's goal. This city is much more of a no tax increase, so we try to do what we can with growth. Back to Alderman Holfer's comments, we're not always going to be able to do it. There's going to be a point in time where we're going to need to, and I can say if we do borrow $6.3 million in 2023, that means our debt payment is going to go up in 2024. That means our tax levy is going to need to go up because part of that tax levy pays for debt service. So we're making choices, you know, whether we know it or not, we're making those choices going forward. But this levy limit form, the straight form, how much we get from growth and how much we get from any kind of TID closure or adjustment, that's really the indication of basically what our growth is. So in the end, leaving that 539 of debt service stable, even though our debt payments are much higher, keeps our taxes not increasing. So I know that's a pretty deep discussion of taxes, but in the end, page 15 is kind of where it's at. The rate is going to be somewhere between, my guess would be, 437 and 440 per thousand of value. I did a little calculation. You know, I just grabbed a couple properties. One of them, we have a property, District 1, 416,000 is the value in 2021. It went up 8.6%, didn't have any improvements, didn't have any changes. With the new tax rate, I'm using the 439. The taxes are $22 less in 22 than they were in 21 for the local share only. So, and then, of course, if somebody did an addition or something like that, that's going to change it.
The way the state formula works now, I mean, if you don't have any growth, it's you're pretty much...
Right.
Yeah, for sure.
That's the question I was going to ask. So I'm looking at the landfill expansion, adding 30 to 35 additional years of that money coming in. Have you ever, I mean, not exactly, but have you ever taken an overall look down the road to how many years of positive growth we may have left? And I realize it depends on the economy and all of those things, but
so that study was done actually before. So when you do impact fee studies, that's kind of part of that, is how fast is the growth going to happen and what does it look like. So if we watch the impact studies back from 2002 when they started until now, it was basically saying back then we had like this 40-year window.
But now we're still saying we have that 40-year window. So, of course, we know the recession hit in 2008, right? And that put us back a little bit. There was a lot of stagnant value, stagnant growth. There was not a lot of growth. So I think on a long-term basis, we're probably talking decades. You know, we have decades. We have. We did a study when we were doing some county park analysis last year. We did a study, and we had our GIS guys calculated all the open land, and it was anywhere, depending on if you include parkland, anywhere from 28% to 35%. You mentioned that Oak Creek has a lot of growth to do. Not that much growth. You know, I talk with the city administrator in Oak Creek a lot, and you know, we kind of jab each other on different things, and he always says, "Yeah, but you have more capacity for growth." And they're getting to their limits quicker than we are. Now, that could very well have something to do with a lot of their interchange access, right? They have a lot of access, and you know, they're really building up. But we really haven't done any redevelopment yet either. So there will be a time when we're not just doing development, but it will be time for redevelopment. This community is too new for that right now. So I'd say we have decades worth of growth left. But did I ever map it out all the way to, you know, 2070? I haven't.
But I think, Ed, just to add on to your comment there, the landfill siting fees, if there was a magic crystal ball, if you think about needs while the community is growing, like the fire station that's being talked about, and there will be other things. There will be new artillery roads and you know, service and whatever. If there was a you know, magic ball where you could say, well, the landfill siting kind of help us continue to offset and fund some of those things, like we're using them now until we got to a point where that development might be complete or nearing its end, you know, might be a perfect world. Will that happen? No, but at least as we look at it today, those both seem to be out there for quite some time, and I think puts Franklin in a very unique position.
But at some point, future administrators and council will be able to recognize things are going to shift and we need to look at different options when it
Right. Well, and it's funny. We have that opportunities and threats, those couple pages we have in here, and that's really the reason for that, right? It's to try to carry on some of those longer-term ideas that we all know things are coming that other people might not know are coming. So that's kind of the idea with that. I don't know who put it in place here, but it was a really good idea.
Other comments? Tax rate.
I would just say thank you for all the work, and
yes,
it's nice to know I can ask an off-the-wall question, and you've already seen a study somewhere, so thank you.
That's what we do.
There's a lot in there.
Yeah, right?
Sitting back going, oh my God, what is your name?
So, I mean, we do have to discuss, you know, how do we go forward with this. I will tell you, we were supposed to have a council meeting. We had it on the agenda since May, but we do have a number of council members that can't make it. So we are not planning for a council meeting on the 13th. We do have a workaround with it. I have been working with the clerk on, so long story short, we have a hearing notice. Our hearing notice that we have to put out is statutory. It basically is this piece of paper that I'm holding in front of you. Statutory hearing notice is a one page, talks about everything in our general fund, talks about our spending, special revenue, debt service, enterprise funds, impact fees, internal service, etc. So we will have this ready. Any recommendations, and we do need a recommendation from the committee if it's so inclined because of all the updates we gave you tonight. So what happened was is when we walked in here last week, we walked in here with the mayor's recommended budget. We typically, in the city of Franklin, when we go to public hearing, we go with a proposed budget. It turns from the mayor's recommended into the proposed. After all of you folks do that, do your review of it. So the pages that we didn't have in originally, they technically aren't in the mayor's recommended budget right now. Denise and I were just kind of going back and forth on how that might look. You know, there's probably too many items to say this line item changed, that line item changed, etc. But we did give you sewer fund updates, utility improvement fund updates, development fund updates, special assessment fund updates, health fund, health grant fund revenue updates, and a self-insurance fund update.
So what we were thinking is maybe we could, all those pages we gave you tonight, we could give in detail to the council, right, because we want to get it in their books and get it in all the official records, explain to them, you know, through an adjustment sheet what that looks like, and have that be the recommended motion. And then if there's anything else, then that would all get into the hearing notice. So our hearing notice is due on Monday, the day before the council meeting. But I talked to the clerk, and she talked to the people at the South Now, at our official newspaper, and they said because it's a display ad and it's going to look exactly like this no matter what, as long as we just change a few of the numbers after the fact, like if council changes something, we can still do that. And if all heck broke loose and we need to pull it, we could definitely do that. It would just be that if we pull it, we couldn't, the council couldn't consider the budget on November 15th. They would have to have a special meeting later on. I'm not expecting that to happen, but if the committee would accept all of the changes that we proposed tonight, and we would be able to put those into the hearing notice, then the council could consider that on Tuesday night, and we could go from there without a special meeting for the council. Because without that, we have to start polling the council to see if we can get another special meeting between now and basically Monday, and I'm just not sure that's possible.
Ed has a question, I think, then.
How soon would you be able to get it in front of the other council members?
So we actually have, it would just be all the changes we gave you tonight, and then we would just need to formalize that like on an adjustment sheet. So we for sure will be getting it in front of the council members by Friday because it needs to go into the packet.
Yeah, that's a lot for...
So it's a lot, but when you look at what's changing, so for example, so we gave you some sewer fund updates. Sewer fund is an enterprise fund that we actually review the budget and set the rates in February of each year, so changes in the sewer fund are not critical. We gave you updates to the utility improvement fund and fund 27, which is the development fee fund, but those were just the updates that are listed already in the capital project. So everybody already knows about the programs and the projects that are happening. We just put them into the correct format. So there's really no changes on those except for some interest and things like that. Special assessments, less than $5,000. Health fund revenues, those are all in the council's packet. It's just in the department recommended rather than the mayor's recommended. And then the health insurance fund would be a special one. But like I said, that one's being taken up by the personnel committee on Monday and the council on Tuesday. So so those are really the changes.
So
but we would give them all the, we could give, here's what we could do, and I wish we would have time to do this for you as well. We could take all of those sheets, compare the old ones to the new ones, and highlight all of the changes so they could immediately hone in on what the changes are. And we could include that to our adjustment request sheet, do the adjustment request sheet by fund, and they would be able to see it. We can put the, by tomorrow morning, we can put all of the, if this committee recommends them, we can put them all into the budget as Finance Committee recommended. Once council approves it on Tuesday, we could put it into the budget as part of the proposed budget. So we can do that pretty quickly. If we had 2 hours to sit down right now, we could come up with what those changes are.
Well, I would appreciate that. I just want to make sure the other members have ample opportunity to have questions asked and things.
Yep. We can certainly... I don't want to promise tomorrow. By Friday morning,
we
for
have
sure.
A TIF report that needs to get to
yes,
the state,
we do.
So
we have an audit report to get to the state tomorrow, so that would probably be our top priority. But my gut feeling is we can have this put together by end of day tomorrow.
So like I said, you
at
get
the
it
worst
on,
case, beginning of the day, some midday Thursday.
You get it at 5 o'clock on Friday, and there's nobody to answer questions
right.
on Saturday and Sunday. And if you're busy on Monday, then it's difficult.
Yep.
Yeah, it sounds like a lot of our other council members are going to be out of town anyway.
But again, this is probably a little more, I shouldn't say maybe form over substance. I mean, part of it is maintaining the timeline to get to publication. It's not putting anything on an approval format or mode yet.
You're absolutely correct. So if the council accepted these changes, they would not be accepting them per se or approving them. They would just be saying they could be part of the budget. Someone could come back at every meeting between now and November 15th. There will be an update the budget item on the council agenda, and that would be the time that we could talk about any of those items.
So, yeah, you're right. This is a publication item. I mean, for the most part, there's one thing that's not in the mayor's recommended budget that has to be there for the recommendation, and that's the impact fee revenues. That's really the only one. And that's just because there's one line in the statutes in 6590 that says we have to have them in there. So that would technically be the only one, because the budget, for all of you that were here before, we had a Marquette Avenue change for $750,000 the week before the budget got approved 2 years ago. So that stuff happens all the time. I think the key to it is just to make sure those things happen in a public meeting.
But I think the changes that we talked about, it would behoove us to at least get those in, you said not necessarily term the mayor's recommended, but the proposed budget, so that it's one step closer to being toward that, what will become some type of approved document by middle of November.
Yep.
I see some heads nodding. Any other questions, or
do you have a suggested motion? Or?
We do. I would think a suggested motion would be we would need a motion to tentatively amend the mayor's 2023 recommended budget for the sewer fund, utility improvement fund, development fund, special assessment fund, health grant revenue fund, and self-insurance fund as detailed tonight and attached, and forward to the council.
I would make that motion.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second about the, what term did you have it listed as? Temporary amended?
Tentatively amend.
Tentatively amended. Do you want tentative in there?
Or you could say recommend to amend. So you're just making, this was a word that we used in the past years, but really it's just you move to make a recommendation to amend. So if that sounds more plausible.
I think so, because I mean we're starting out with the mayor's recommended as a base and amending it based on the laundry list that you read off there.
So it says, I move to make a recommendation to amend the mayor's 2023 recommended budget.
I agree to that.
As do I.
Both? Okay, motion maker and second agree. Any further discussion on the recommend to amend budget for 2023? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. The council will have a recommendation from the Finance Committee.
So we'll go ahead and get the hearing notice done. We'll also send this to the Finance Committee as well, because then you can have it in your budget to just compare what the details are, as well as the highlighted.
Yes, I think
changes.
That would be helpful for the council members if you could highlight those changes.
Yep, absolutely.
Because some of them, as they're reviewing them, and they're quite minor, and if they can go right to it.
Yeah, in fact, when we put it online, maybe we'll even put a little cover sheet on there that says everything that's highlighted were recommended by the Finance Committee.
Great. Is there anything else we have here? So the council meeting will be on Tuesday then next week.
Tuesday the 18th. So the council will consider the budget on Tuesday the 18th. These changes, they'll actually approve the hearing notice as well as the changes, or consider the changes by the Finance Committee and consider the hearing notice. Then it'll be on the November 1st meeting, and then the November 15th will be the hearing as well as consideration of adoption.
Everybody's okay with that?
Yeah.
I think that fits the timeline from what I'm hearing, and Peggy and Denise are monitoring that. Other items. I guess item 5, discussion review changes to date. I think we've done that with the recommended amendments.
Mm-hmm.
The dates, actually, we just, I think, finished talking about as well, kind of getting us toward the goal line or touchdown line of November 15th or thereabouts. Clearly, all of this is available for further discussion and deliberation by the council members. I want to thank everybody on the Finance Committee. I know this is a big document. There's a lot of information here. I think after spending, 3 days, not only in kind of presentations and hearing from the department heads and so forth, you get a pretty good perspective of how the citizens' tax dollars are being employed, spent, and engaged. So I want to thank everybody for that due diligence. $30 million, give or take, I think, from a general fund. It's quite an operation. And will be getting bigger, I think, as the city continues to expand. Yes?
Will we still have a regularly scheduled meeting on the 25th?
Good question. I think we can... We talked about that the other day. We have monthly financials are really the only thing we could come up with that, other than the budget, if you wanted the budget back on. But we're also happy to complete those financials and send them to you. I mean, we've had a tall ask for you over the last week and a half. You know, we're talking probably darn near. And I don't even know what you did outside of here, but just in meetings, we're talking about, 12 hours. So we're happy to get you the financials. The things we have coming up between now and year end, we want to look at a couple policies. We want to get that OPEB advisor in front of you. Is there something else that we had on the list?
I think
those were the big ones.
Coming.
We have three very interested parties. I think three probably that would any of them would do a good job. One or two of them have more experience than the other ones. But I think definitely some good choices. I don't think there's going to be a wrong choice.
Can you say who they are?
Sure. Drake and Associates is one. They don't necessarily have a lot of municipal, but they have a lot of nonprofit and very large plans, so they're going to be a good choice. Principal just merged. So Principal handles our retirement plan. They also have an investment division, and U.S. Bank, who happens to be our servicing bank, but they have a separate, and those two both work with a lot of municipalities, so they have a lot of the similar. So really any one of the three, I think, would be pretty good. They think our policy is very straightforward. They understand. We said quarterly written reports to the committee, in-person, annual, and just a touch base on a monthly basis. And all of them are more than happy to do that. And if market conditions, dictate, we'll do it more often. But our policy is pretty clear when you think about it from a policy perspective. I don't think we can go wrong.
Was there... how is the reception of using all passive investments? Is that because I suspect a lot of them might be choosing their own, or not an issue?
That really wasn't an issue.
It's pretty. I mean, at the end of the day, it's pretty generic. If we're going to be playing in that space, you want it diversified and spread and whatever. I don't know what the feel of the rest of the committee is. I know that these two women have a lot of things on their plate in the next week or two also. If it's financial statements only, I would not be adverse to receiving them electronically or holding them over. I mean, I don't know that there's anything monumental that's happening in the last the weeks that are probably going to change dramatically kind of the route of 2022 as it's unfolding. Kind of hard to say that already, but as we start the fourth quarter here, it's increasingly rolling toward that goal line again.
Right. And I will, now that you mentioned that, I will tell you, our budget estimates for year-end 22 were very, very conservative. Many reasons for that, one of them being that we were focusing on 23, but another one, sometimes departments get a little edgy when you start estimating their accounts before year end, and sometimes it causes actually greater spending. So we just took 22 projections in the budget pretty conservatively. I can tell you it's going to be much more favorable, and you'll see that in the monthly financials. So I think monthly financials will be good, a good look.
Well, and I have to believe a good portion of that, again, is staffing levels, because so much of the budget is payroll and benefits. So if you're fully employed for the full 365, it makes a big difference. But reality doesn't allow that typically. Is everybody okay with that then?
Yep.
25th, I mean, I think if we pick it up again, I don't know how it'll affect with the Thanksgiving holiday or where we are date-wise, and we can kind of start looking at, you know, how year-end's starting to look.
The 22nd, yep.
Okay, so that's the week of?
Yes. Is that okay?
Is...
Well, I'll tell you what. Why don't we do this? Why don't we ask Lisa to poll at the beginning of November and make sure it still works? If it doesn't work for you, we could always go figure something out the week before or the week after, either one.
Please also pass along, and I think I can say this for the committee, I know this is a huge undertaking. I continue to be amazed at the quality of information. It keeps on getting better. It's directly responsible to the leadership, but also to the department heads as well. I think they're becoming part of the process. I mean, not everybody gets everything they want. That's the real life. But I think they are sincere and do, you know, the best job with the resources that they're given.
We will do that. Thank you.
If not, I think we can take a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to adjourn. Any further discussions? Hearing none?
Aye.
Everybody in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Thank you again.